And welcome back to the broadcast, the second hour of American Exposé listeners. That theme music that everybody questions me about, I receive an email a week about this, basically, regarding the theme music of the broadcast. That comes from the movie The Milagro Beanfield War, produced and directed by Robert Redford, sanctioned and sponsored by La Raza, listeners. La Raza wants to reconquest the Southwest. Just amazing to know this and to realize this music is very appropriate for the day and time we live in. Everything's all right, but is it? And that's why I play it. The theme from the Milagro Beanfield War, it's done by Dave Grusin, and you can find it in Dave Grusin's work. Most of his best ofs have this song on there, Best of Dave Grusin. Here we see, before we take another phone call, leaders fail to agree on free trade talks. From Mar del Plata, Argentina, leaders from across the Americas ended their tumultuous two-day summit Saturday without agreeing to restart talks on a U.S.-favored free trade zone stretching from Alaska to Chile. And there you have it. A roadblock put into place, but it's the U.S.-UN system that people have to realize what's being done here. It's the U.S.-UN system. And listeners, for us to be so gullible to what's going on here in the scenarios that are being presented to us on a daily basis by the press, by the print media, is incredible. Absolutely incredible. To be so gullible, for us to be so gullible in this technological enriched time, to feel that these weather storms, these hurricanes, these earthquakes are an act of God, is downright depressing to me. I'm being very conservative with what I say, because it's so obvious how things can be done and directed. And here we see from Panama City, just 8 minutes ago, listeners, U.S. President George Walker Bush left for home after a three-country Latin American tour that failed to yield a sought-for breakthrough on uniting the Western Hemisphere in a giant free trade zone. And who is it free to, listeners? Who's going to get the freebies out of this? He left Panama for Washington after attending a 34-nation summit of the Americas in Argentina, a meeting in Brazil with President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, and talks were with President Martin Trujillo's. But while international travel sometimes bolsters U.S. presidents standing at home, he could not escape his domestic political troubles, particularly a CIA leak scandal that has sharply dented his credibility with the U.S. public. Is that all that's dented his credibility with the U.S. public? Well, the U.S. public is certainly very, very well dumbed down to think that's the only reason why the U.S. public is upset with President Bush. How insane is this? This is incredible. And Bush is just another occupier of the White House. It's been an occupier of the White House for past Bushes and past insiders that have been directing the UN system to take over the world with the State Department behind it. The State Department has the U.S. mission to the UN. We'll be back with Barney. Stay with us. Okay, we're back with the broadcast. Go to the website, AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K on purpose, as a statement to where we are today. Very obvious to me. that's the case. Barney, welcome to the broadcast, Barney.
Yeah, Chris?
Yes, sir.
What I object to more than anything else is that patriots are being portrayed as a little old lady standing around wringing their hands and appealing to the crook, say, please, Mr. Crook, help me out. And I don't think that's our role. Instead, I think we're a powerful force. And the nation is going down the 1984 road to the animal farm. It's the most tyrannical form of government ever devised in the history of the world.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
And during World War II, the U.S. had 16 million people in uniform. We have many times more of that today. And most of the veterans of World War II and all the wars since then are on our side. The U.S. is large with all different kinds of terrain, and it's not like a small nation where they can concentrate men and firepower and eliminate a small area. We got a lot going for us there. And the sheeple, of course, they will self-destruct. We don't have to worry about them except to clean the bodies up. But the patriots are ready to eliminate the one worlders and defend the sovereignty of the nation. And I think we ought to take a more aggressive stand and get to it.
How aggressive are you talking?
As aggressive as it has to be. You know, all the people in the military, they're out there in the trenches now being blown away and everything. And the people here are pussyfooting around. We got to really let them know that we're a force to be reckoned with.
I think everybody in the world needs to realize that they're all being scammed. And I think every military in the world needs to know what they're a military for. A United Nations One World Governmental System. And if those on the inside don't realize what they're a part of, shame on them. But there are many that do realize what they're a part of, and they're getting out. And that is the key to this whole situation. These leaders, quote-unquote leaders, and once again, when you have people like Alan Greenspan and the Federal Reserve who control the nation's money, and David Rockefeller saying he doesn't care about the Patriot Movement because they don't have any money, then you start to think, well, yes, we're being directed to a cashless society, and we won't be able to sustain ourselves in the future.
Well, we have people in every walk of society, and all we have to do is make a stand, and they'll have to back down because they're just a bunch of cowards, every one of them.
Well, this is why weather wars and environmental modification needs to be exposed, don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, and by the way, Joyce Rowley had a group on her program that apparently, I didn't get the whole story, but apparently they're from the Tesla Society.
Yeah.
And you heard about it?
I have.
Yeah, and so they gave them an alternative warning to back off, so that's the only way you can do it. A lot of people get hurt when you fight, but you got to fight, and you got to beat it. That's the way I do it.
Okay, Barney, I appreciate your thoughts.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you. Vicki, how are you today, Vicki?
As I was listening to you tell that story about the Arizona Coalition to Protect Property Rights,
right,
that's about the third military base that I've heard of that is expanding, all for different reasons, of course,
mm-hmm.
You know, but taking people's property away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was preparing an email to send to them, you know, to give them some links to some property rights organizations that might be able to help them.
Uh-huh.
Which, by the way, I would recommend for everybody, when you hear about these things, send, you know, if you know of an organization that can help somebody, send them an email. Give them all the links. Give them the information. You know, because we,
yeah,
we have to work together on this.
By all means.
But anyway, so I was preparing this memo, or this email, and I remembered an email that you sent to me about this UN desertification treaty.
Desertification, yes.
That's a hard word to say.
Yes.
Anyway, it calls for no private property whatsoever. And I put that, you know, it just, okay, connect the dots here.
Mm-hmm.
All over our country, not just these three military bases that we know that they're taking the private property of people around it, but all over the country, private property is being taken out of the hands of individuals, and it's being given to bigger owners. And, of course, you know, it's easier for a bigger owner to turn over property or whatever than it is to get it out of the hands of. I mean, once you get it out of the hands of individuals, then it's an easy thing, you know, to clear the property for.
Yes. For whatever projects they have planned for us.
Right, which is rewilding or the human settlements, you know, where they're going to stack us and pack us.
And the NAFTA corridors.
Yeah, but on this article, on this treaty, I just wanted to tell people that they can find this article on www.worldnetdaily, or no, I'm sorry, worldnetdaily.com.
Okay.
And if they have to do a search for it, because this article was back in December of 2000, but they should be able to search on the author of the article. His name was Harry Lamb.
Henry Lamb.
Henry Lamb.
Yes.
Yes, L-A-M-B.
Right.
So that's all I wanted to say. And if people are aware of this treaty that calls for 70% of the world's surface to be rewilded, and no private property owned by individuals, then you can see that there's a pattern to this. There's a method.
Absolutely.
To what's going on.
And there's a pattern to the outsourcing of our jobs.
Absolutely. Yep. Make us broke.
There it is.
Yeah, you know what? I was listening to Alan Greenspan the other day when he was doing a hearing in front of the Joint Budget Committee in the Senate. And I heard him say that they have what he's done is he's redefined inflation to mean wages. So if wages go up, that's inflationary, not prices. What we're used to is that if prices go up, we think that's inflation. But he redefined it to say that inflation is when wages go up. So that's how they can justify flooding our labor markets with loads and loads of foreign workers, and because, you know, to his new definition, that's fighting inflation. In the meantime, taxes are going up, prices are going up, everything is going up, and that's not inflation. It's Orwell. It's, you know, it's Orwellian.
Mm-hmm.
It's upside down.
There you have it.
Okay.
And you're right on the money all the time. Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
Well done. Here we see Chapter 10 of Agenda 21, people, entitled Integrated Approach to the Planning and Management of Land Resources. Now, think of the NAFTA corridors. Think of the Kelo decision, eminent domain. Think of these directions just recently introduced into America. Land is normally defined as a physical entity in terms of its topography and spatial nature. A broader integrative view also includes natural resources, the soils, minerals, water, and biota that the land comprises. These components are organized in ecosystems, which provide a variety of services essential to the maintenance of the integrity of life support systems and the productive capacity of the environment. Land resources are used in ways that take advantage of all these characteristics. Land is a finite resource. While the natural resources it supports can vary over time and according to management conditions and uses, expanding human requirements and economic activities are placing ever-increasing pressures on land resources, creating competition and conflicts, and resulting in suboptimal use of land. Actually, suboptimal use of both land and land resources. If in the future human requirements are to be met in a sustainable manner, it is now essential to resolve these conflicts and move towards more effective and efficient use of land and its natural resources. Integrated physical and land use planning and management is an eminently practical way to achieve this. By examining all uses of land in an integrated manner, it makes it possible to minimize conflicts, to make the most efficient trade-offs and to link social and economic development with environmental protection and enhancement, thus helping to achieve the objectives of sustainable development. What's the code word for Agenda 21? Sustainable development. The essence of the integrated approach finds expression in the coordination of the sectoral planning and the management activities concerned with the various aspects of land use and land resources. That's a mouthful. That's UN lingo, people. UN lingo on us and the world. As Agenda 21 is in every country of the world, the bottom line is control of mankind, reduce the population by whatever means necessary, and a war if necessary. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. Stay with me. Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. Let's go back to the telephones. What's the scam, Sam? How are you today?
Good, okay. I just, a thing I want to revisit here to begin with is this whole issue of referring to Frosty Wooldridge earlier.
Yeah.
And I need to put this out again because every time you turn around, there's always new listeners. I've mentioned this on your show before, and that is the fact that one of the dangers with the areas in which Frosty Wooldridge is going is that while I agree with him on the whole issue of the illegal immigration, he couches this argument in an area that's extremely dangerous. And the thing I get concerned about is as we continue to get an influx of these people, we are going to see desperate measures introduced that the other side has always wanted to introduce all along, because what's going to happen is to the average Joe six-pack out there, America is going to look overpopulated.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen is this is how, once you get the illegals in here, then, you know, in a large enough variety and a large enough quantity, then what's going to wind up ultimately happening is the illegals will populate America enough that people will start buying into it and saying, oh, yes, we have overpopulation. We need to do something about this horrible population problem.
Yeah.
And then, of course, therein will lie the solution, and that'll be the population reduction crowd out there who will say, well, if we can just get laws passed where we can reduce the population.
Yeah, and you know, he won't come on this show. People have tried to get him on this show before. He won't come on. He writes this article blaming NAFTA, GATT, CAFTA. He didn't mention GATT, but Canamex Highway. But he doesn't say the UN system, and he doesn't connect to the executive order from 1998 as well.
Well, a lot of people, unfortunately, are not connecting to the executive order either. I can't tell you how many places I've tried to get that information out.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want to bury it under the rug. And I heard something last night from Terry Anderson when he was on that made me want to fall on the floor and vomit, and that was he said that you know, they were talking about this new bill, and I can't remember exactly what the bill is, but it's a bill supposed to deal with immigration out there, you know, at the border. It's supposed to call for better border reinforcement, but buried in it is biometric identification, biometric social security cards or whatever.
Ouch. And he's in favor of that, isn't he?
Yes, just like he's in favor of the national ID card. And he said that he would be willing to have a number tattooed on him if it need be, if it would stop the illegals.
Oh my gosh! And this guy, As I've heard him on George Putnam before he was a talk show host way back in the 90s, before I was a talk show host, complaining about migration or immigration or illegal immigration, whatever you want to call it. I know this guy is was on the up and up at one time and just ignorant.
Yeah, and wants to remain that way. And it's frustrating because, you know, this is how we get into these messes. People don't want to take the time to really dig in and find out what's behind the agenda. And of course, the other side, when they perpetrate these agendas, they hope that these things will occur so people will go in the direction that they want it to go. And it's just like the mess over in France right now. They would love nothing better for this whole country to break out into chaos if need be for them to push their agenda. That's what they're hoping for. They're probably jollying with glee over the stuff that's going on in France now, because as these countries fall into utter chaos, then they'll come in and pick up the pieces, and the way they'll pick up the pieces, Chris, will be the exact way that they wanted to pick it up all along. It's just that the public wouldn't buy into it until the rioting and the chaos broke out.
Yeah, now coming back to our country, you know, Prince Charles was inspecting the hurricane-devastated areas in Louisiana in that surrounding quote-unquote region. What was he doing? He was checking out to see if the weather weapon worked properly or not, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's the only conclusion you can come to, because the first question you have to ask is, what the hell is he doing over here, just like Gorbachev? What are we doing allowing him over here? These guys float around the universe doing strutting their stuff, and nobody asks any questions.
There you have it. And the bottom line of this whole thing is Gorbachev was complicit in the Soviet Afghanistan invasion, and the sinister situation of the toys being dropped out of helicopters that had explosive booby traps on them, maiming children, terrorizing the populace down there in Afghanistan. And Mikhail Gorbachev never, ever mentions that anytime ever.
Oh, no. I mean, it's just like, we're supposed to go and help out all these rogue nations, and our money winds up feeding dictators and regimes that are totalitarian, and the food and the money never gets to the intended people that are supposed to be helped. So we wind up pouring our money down a rat hole, and nobody knows the difference because they never hear about that part of it. All they know is just that, you know, oh, we must help these poor people, you know, and of course, there's where your transfer of wealth is, and so. You know, on goes the story, and the public is ill-informed, and it just keeps going around and around and around.
Well, I appreciate your insight, Sam.
Absolutely.
Well done, my friend. Soviet War on Children, from the book In Cold Blood. I have it right in my hands, people. We'll be back to discuss this real briefly. Stay with me.
I cry for my country. Oh, the pain that it's been through. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few. Storm clouds are out for me.
And welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. Very discouraging to see this. The Soviet War on Children, from the book In Cold Blood, The Communist Conquest of Afghanistan by Abdul Shams. And he was the former economic advisor to the president of Afghanistan. And there it is, another president in a country that doesn't have a constitutional republic like what we had. So we see here a young girl, maybe in her early teens, maybe 12, 13 years old. Her legs are blown off below the knees. Here's a young man, his face blown off. Another man, young man, with his face blown off. Gross. And it says, attacks directed against innocent civilians include bombs disguised as toys designed to maim rather than kill. On Chapter 4, Soviet Strategy in Afghanistan, the communist war against the Afghan people, which has lasted 9 years now. It began in April 1978 when Taraki seized power and murdered Prince Daoud, is neither a mistake nor an aberration, as it has been said to be. The Soviets invaded Afghanistan for a specific purpose, and they are executing that purpose. They have invaded other countries, either themselves or through proxies, for the same purpose. To fail to understand that purpose is to make a fatal mistake in the struggle for the world. Who's in charge of the Security Council of the UN system, people? A Soviet or a Soviet satellite country? Unfortunately, many Americans, especially those in positions of influence, do not seem to understand that purpose. Some described the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan as a completely new development. Others thought it was a turning point in Soviet foreign policy. Still others asserted that that never before had Soviet troops invaded a third world country. Such statements reveal a profound ignorance of communism. I've already mentioned the three invasions of Afghanistan by the Soviet Union in 1925, 1929, and 1930 in Chapter 2. The Soviets also invaded Iran in 1920, 1941, and 1946. Outer Mongolia and Turan Tuva in 1921. China in 1929 supplied weapons to the North Korean invasion of South Korea in 1950, equipped North Vietnam's invasion of South Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia for the past three decades, invaded Poland and Finland in 1939, Hungary in 1956, Czechoslovakia in 1968, and stationed troops in East Germany, Romania, Egypt, Cuba, Poland, and Ethiopia. In fact, since the communists seized power in 1917, the Soviet Union has attacked every one of its neighbors except Norway and Turkey. That's just the beginning of this incredible chapter four, Soviet strategy in Afghanistan, from In Cold Blood, the communist conquest of Afghanistan. And I'm just sickened by the ignorance of the American people to accept Mikhail Gorbachev in America, and the prince, for that matter. How insane is this getting to be? Walt in Michigan, welcome to the broadcast, Walt.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I want to mention several things that come to mind when I was listening to your conversation with folks about population control.
Right.
Okay, the World Health Organization's population control program had its roots in a document published by an ex-Secretary of State by the name of Cyrus Vance. The document was called Global 2000 Report to the President. It was published in 1979, 1980. He was directed to go to the Club of Rome to give a speech there on population control, where he recommended five methods for reducing the Earth's population by one half by the year 2000. He recommended they use war, famine, disease, pestilence, and natural disaster.
Uh-huh. Yeah?
And that he was instructed after given the nod from the Club of Rome, to go give the same speech as the ambassador to the United Nations, World Health Organization, which in turn, at that particular point in time, his program was adopted and all the foundational premises that he promoted as their population control program.
Makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's not the end of it. 1992, they had a population control conference with non-governmental NGO, is what they call non-governmental organizations, in Cairo, Egypt. I confronted one of 42 representatives in the Harley Hotel in Grand Rapids, Michigan, about 1995 or 6. I'm not sure which year. I forget which year it was. Pretty close to there, anyways. Confronted her where these folks have infiltrated. The internationals have infiltrated Calvin College, which is right close to, you know, the Harley Hotel there in Grand Rapids.
Uh-huh.
It used to be a good university, a good college at one time, but they have debauched it big time. But they were going to elect or appoint new representatives to that NGO organization from students, from young students at Calvin College. About 25 of us showed up, and none of us knew each other. That's the interesting part of it. None of us knew each other, and all 25 has confronted this woman with her participation in this monstrous meeting that they held in Cairo. And she denied, just kept denying everything, lied through her teeth every step of the way. All she could do in her little spiel is badmouth all the Catholics and everybody that believes in large families, you know, and we just got to do something about all these people. We just have too many people. Well, see, what she's speaking from the economic position of her husband owning a factory, and both her daughters are graduate engineers, and she's upper crust. Okay.
Uh huh.
She's looking down her nose at it, and we're all looking at her, and it took everything in me to be to continue to be polite to this monster. You know, if she's standing there talking about murdering people is what it amounted to, you see.
Yes.
And this arrogant elitist attitude that they have is, in my opinion, is nothing more than representative of deception. Because they're deceived in believing that because they have been to college and they have all this so-called enlightenment that they know better than the rest of us on how we should live and how many of us should live on top of that.
So, Walt, as a result of this population reduction, we just completely discount abortion as the family is just decimated. The destruction of the family unit has been going on for decades. We just discount abortion as no big damn deal, do we?
That's true. And I'm going to tell you something else. It ties in with God's Word, and it does, in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about two-thirds of all mankind are going to be destroyed. There's only going to be about a third left when the Lord Jesus returns. And that ties in with what these monsters are calling for themselves. They're calling for the destruction of two-thirds, or if not more. And that's another thing that needs to be brought out in the open, too. I'm going to ask you a question, Chris.
Mm.
What is the most powerful organization that has murdered the most people in the last 2,000 years? Can you give me an organization that you know that's murdered more people than anybody?
In the last 2,000 years?
Yeah. Actually, last 1,200 years.
Well, I would say not necessarily an organization, but I would say religions.
Well, the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Has murdered more people over through the centuries than any organization globally. Any. And in 1940, the Ustashi in Serbia was Jesuit-controlled and had some Franciscans that led the military force that murdered 600,000 to 1 million Orthodox Christians and Protestants in that area. And that was in 1940, beginning of the war. And you don't hear one word about their connection with it and their involvement from behind the scenes in instigating all the wars. And I'm sure there's some Jewish people that are involved in it that call themselves Jews and some Protestants and some atheists, but it's all tied into one system. It's a satanic world government system. That's what it is. These guys are Satanists. They're Luciferian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is all about. They use Catholics. They use Jews. They use everybody. It ain't just a big conspiracy of the so-called false Jews doing it. They got Catholics involved in it, too.
Well,
not all Catholics are evil, and not all Jews are evil. I'm married to a Jew, so I know better than that.
Well, certainly.
From knowledge.
Certainly. Now think about the people of Mexico. Most of them are Catholics, correct?
Right.
And the Pope tells them to procreate and multiply.
That's right.
And they can come over here pregnant, and they can produce an instant U.S. citizen.
Well, I can tell you this, that you need to get a hold of a guy who has much more knowledge in this particular subject matter that you should have on as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Daryl Eberhardt. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. He was an intelligence officer for 20 years and combined between the United States Air Force and Army. And he has this subject in much more greater detail than I have.
Do you know of him?
And yes,
where,
I do.
Where to get a hold of him?
Yeah, I got his number right in front of me, but I'd rather not do it on air.
Why don't you email his number and give me your phone number? We can talk off the air.
My power is out.
Are you in Florida?
We needed some storms up here in Michigan.
Oh, you're in Michigan and you have a power outage.
Yeah, there's I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people are out without power here. I can't.
You can talk on the phone then, huh? You can talk on the phone, though.
Yes, I can. And if you put me on hold and somebody on off air, I can give it to you. It does want me to give the numbers out.
Why don't you give your phone number to me or take my phone number and we'll talk after the show?
Okay, hold on. Let me get somewhere to write this.
I'll tell you what. I don't want everybody knowing my phone number
right.
Either because I have to screen my calls now already.
I understand.
Just hang on and... Paul will give you my phone number, and you give me a call after the show, and you give Paul the number, and I'll call you, too.
Okay, I'll do that.
That would be very logical at this point.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind this initiative for the Echo 92 Earth Charter,
mm-hmm.
where it says what the Worldwide Fund for Nature is saying, an official at the Worldwide Fund for Nature, WWF's said September 10th that the Geneva UNCED results were absolutely a serious setback. There will be no convention on forced by June 1992 for Brazil. The situation has reached a deadlock. This is the first casualty for the UNCED process. A senior advisor on ecological affairs to Britain's Prince Philip said September 15th that Echo 92 organizer Maurice Strong had over-politicized the issue of environmentalism and had raised a ridiculous messianic expectations. Therefore, the following policy must be implemented. The Security Council of the UN, led by the Anglo-Saxon major nation powers, will decree that henceforth the Security Council will inform all nations that its sufferance on population has ended, that all nations have quotas for population reduction on a yearly basis, which will be enforced by the Security Council by selective or total embargo of credit, items of trade including food and medicine, or by military force when required. So this is right on our website, and it's the initiative for the 92 Echo Earth Charter from Larry in Iowa, who's, it all fits, doesn't it? Okay, we lost him. It says, B, the Security Council of the UN will inform all nations that outmoded notions of national sovereignty will be discarded, and that the Security Council has complete legal, military, and economic jurisdiction in any region in the world, and that this will be enforced by the major nations of the Security Council. C, the Security Council of the UN will take possession of all natural resources, including the watersheds and great forests, to be used and preserved for the good of the major nations of the Security Council. D, the Security Council of the UN will explain that not all races and peoples are equal, nor should they be. Those races proven superior by superior achievements ought to rule the lesser races, caring for them on sufferance that they cooperate with the Security Council. Decision-making, including banking, trade, currency rates, and economic development plans, will be made in stewardship by major nations. And E, all of the above constitute the New World Order, in which order all nations, regions, and races will cooperate with the decisions of the major nations of the Security Council. Isn't that not regurgitory information, listeners? The purpose of this document, they say, is to demonstrate that action delayed will be fatal. All could be lost if mere opposition by minor races is tolerated and the unfortunate vacillations of our closest comrades is cause for our hesitations. Open declaration of intent followed by decisive force is the final solution. This must be done before any shock hits our financial markets, tarnishing our credibility and perhaps diminishing our force. So it's quite remarkable how France has given a riot, a major riot, and we have the U.S. mission to the European Union. Now, I'm not privy to what's going on over there, but I do know France does not want to tolerate our coalition forces in Iraq. And I think good for them, good for France, to not tolerate our coalition action in Iraq. I think that's very, very commendable for France. I'm sorry. But this warmongering country that we've been involved in for so many decades, and once again, we are engineered to forget Vietnam. We are engineered to forget Korea, even though Korea is still a melting pot right now. We had 58,000 that gave their lives for nothing in Vietnam. They were sacrificed. They were killed. They were murdered. They were put in a hellhole. And communist China was supporting North Vietnam, as Soviet Russia was supporting North Vietnam. The supply line was never cut off. I mean, how did the South lose the war in the Civil War? Their supply line was cut off. They had no way of getting supplies from Europe. The South failed because they had no way of supplying their army. And then we have the secessionist movement and the free state movement. Is that what it's called? I'm not sure. You have the Republic of Texas movement. We've got people wanting to be sovereign to eliminate themselves from our federal system. I don't call it a constitutional republic because that's not what it is any longer. It should be a constitutional republic. It's been taken from us. But you have these sovereignty movements where sovereignty was tried in 1860 and failed. Is there any reason to think these sovereignty movements here today are going to be positive and be better for us in the long run? We've got time for one call about this. If anybody wants to respond to me about this, I'm very concerned that people aren't getting on the right page. I think the right page is exposing environmental modification, listeners. Weather modification, earthquakes, etc. I think that's vital at this point in time. We'll be back to continue and wrap it up. Stay with me. As we wrap up this broadcast, on the website AmericanExpose.com, listen to this. In nearly 100 communities worldwide, including Chicago, anti-war groups gathered on October 24th through the 28th, ringing a bell once a minute, 1,000 times, symbolizing the more than 100,000 deaths in Iraqi civilians since 2003 when the war began. Though casualty estimates vary, this widely accepted number was published in a study by the British medical journal, The Lancet, on October 29th, a year ago, people. So there is the deal, people. Population reduction. Will from Missouri, welcome to the broadcast, Will.
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking my call. Just a quick note in regards to the weather modification. You know, as the listeners are well aware, I do a lot of research into the philosophy of Auguste Comte. The other evening I was going through, and I found a little prospectus that he'd had in regards to his three phases or three stages of philosophy. The second and the third, these are real brief, will be interesting here. The second series of his works seeks to establish a complete system of positive education adopted to a regenerated society constituted with a view to action upon nature. In other words, it aims at perfecting such action so far as this depends upon the facilities of the agent. Part 3. Lastly, the third series embraces a general exposition of the collective action that civilized men, in the present state of their knowledge, can exercise over nature so as to modify it for their own advantage, directing their entire forces to this end, and regarding social combinations only as a means of attaining it. And there is weather modification, 1820s.
Yeah, they just had a program on one of those educational channels about weather wars way back when.
Well, the idea of man's mastery over nature has been coming for a long time. Of course, it's only logical to think that, of course, we would want to have houses to keep ourselves out of the cold and whatnot. We're, of all the creatures that were created, the most frail, and we need accessories more than any. But the concept of actually becoming the master of nature is just a little bit more than some folks can handle, and I would include myself in that group. I think we need to understand nature and work with it, you know. But as far as becoming the master of the planet, well, that takes a little bit different ego than I have.
Well stated, my friend.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Will.
Good broadcast.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry to say that I have to do this. I tell you, this is bad news. The ignorant of the American people, the ignoration of the American people, the ignoration of the world
is not to be tolerated, listeners. Wake them up, people. AmericanExpose.com is the direction. Until tomorrow, God bless you all and do your research. Thank you.